Hello, everyone. Welcome to Neighbor Science. I am Ryan Salisbury.
Hello, everyone. My name is Peter DeBeer, and I have had a voice change.
Did you go to Korea for that, or?
It's a very special technique that is done in certain parts of the world, but I'm not allowed to mention them because those doctors still haven't gotten FDA approval.
I wonder if Elon Musk went to the same guy.
I don't know, but it fucking
works. There could be female doctors. It's possible in today's day and age.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, everyone. I'm Peter. That's Ryan. And welcome to today's episode of Neighbor Science.
Yeah, man.
We totally need to get a proper melody so that I can... do this slightly singy intro.
What happened to your shoegaze thing?
I'm really struggling to get the shoegaze intro right. I've done like three different versions and everyone sounds worse than the last one. I'm not improving at all. And then it doesn't help that someone went and introduced me to black gaze recently.
You know what has a lot of black gaze in it? One of those recent episodes of Queer Eye. There was like four or five of them in there.
Oh, I saw you posting on Twitter about how Queer Eye. Yeah. It was a great tweet. Great tweet. It should have gotten more engagement. I feel like your Twitter account is very undervalued.
Yeah, I feel like that about pretty much everything that I post. You know, it's all not even gold, just platinum. And, it gets like... paper level appreciation. I don't know.
Okay, so what are we discussing today? I've almost forgotten.
We are discussing Zark Muckerberg. The online yearbook guy.
He's awesome. I love Fark Fuckerberg.
It's fucker nerd.
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg, that's a good one. He does look like a bird.
He does.
I think he looks really more like a bird than Sweet D in Always Sunny. All right, that's what we're going with. Zark Nerdbird.
What?
Okay. Nerd burglar, yeah.
Yeah, in light of everything that's been going on recently, and also because he won your Twitter poll, for which billionaire we should feature in our next billionaires as scumbag villains.
He actually didn't win. He was winning by a large majority at one point. But then someone, whoever voted last, tied it up in a three-way tie.
Oh, yeah. I thought...
That poll was the most inconclusive poll I've ever run.
Okay, well, then I'm sorry, because I think I was the last person to vote, and I'm pretty sure I voted for Peter Thiel.
You dick!
Okay.
Well, that's okay. We're gonna mention him briefly today. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, very, very brief. And is it a spoiler if the person is actually already listening to the episode and they're going to hear about it anyway? Like, I can understand if someone's looking forward to...
Telling a story, Peter, and... You know, you can't give away the ending of the story before you've told the beginning and the middle.
Well, to be honest, and this is in all seriousness, there are lots of people out there who love spoilers, who love knowing the end of something before they know the beginning.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. That's true.
Yeah, so is my wife.
Yeah.
It's a regular bone of contention in our household that she likes to skip to the end of something and watch it.
Yeah, so spoiler alert, Facebook is going to become one of the biggest companies in the world and have a billion users. Zuckerberg is going to be a billionaire. And everyone that's listening is probably going to have an account by the end of the story. Yeah.
By the end of the story. If you're not signed on, then you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to start things off with a Zuckerberg joke.
Okay.
Okay. So, and this is a great one. I heard it from a friend, and I'm actually going to repeat it verbatim. And it goes, Mark Zuckerberg takes a girl home from a nightclub. She says, "Show me that it's true what they say about young, powerful social media entrepreneurs." So he steals her purse, sells all her information to marketing companies, posts her personal pictures all over the internet, and then kicks her to the curb.
Nice.
I sat there and after the joke had been told, I did a slow clap because that's the only rational response.
I got one actually. So I was looking into Zuckerberg's other businesses, and one of them, I don't even remember what it does at this point, but who cares? It's called WireHog. And so, you know, I'll tell you who's got a wire hog. Mark Zuckerberg. Oh!
Oh, God, that was hilarious.
I know. Okay. I know. I'm awesome.
I've got another one. Some scientists are beginning to believe Mark Zuckerberg's claims that he can walk on water. After all, they reason, shit floats. Okay, and then obviously the last and the biggest Zuckerberg joke of them all. Facebook.
Too soon.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't believe there is such a thing as too soon.
I'm still traumatized by that fucking website. Not even the privacy thing. No, you know, people might just think I'm talking about the privacy thing.
General shittiness of that fucking website.
It's one of the worst websites ever made. I can't get over the disparity between, like, how good the JavaScript framework they made. Well, it's not even a framework. It's just a Vue library. React. Very, very good JavaScript library. And then Facebook is one of the worst pieces of shit ever put together in history.
I sometimes think that Zark fucker nerd put together basically a company that proves that whole thing about monkeys typing and you can get Shakespeare, but it's the actual reality of it all. And basically he employed a bunch of monkeys and they developed Facebook, which is honestly it functions about as well as you'd expect from a bunch of monkeys programming a website.
Yeah, it has the functionality of the Leaning Tower of Pisa and the usefulness of the Statue of Liberty. I think that's how I would sum it up. I would honestly rather go back to MySpace pages with all the transparent tables that people used in, like, animated backgrounds and embedded MIDI files. I think I would rather have that.
I think at this point I'm actually contemplating going back to Tumblr.
Tumblr also sucks though, because it's that infinite scrolling thing. It's terrible.
Oh god, it really, like, I look back on my days on Tumblr, and I'll be honest, I feel nothing but shame.
Yeah, you know, it is a great website though. Unironically, Twitter is to me the ideal social network in terms of how it's put together and how well it works.
In all honesty, I get that as a programmer you like Twitter for those reasons, but I'll be the first to say that I find Twitter, the actual social interaction, is very lacking. Very, very lacking. I get it. I don't have a lot of followers on Twitter, and I don't follow a lot of people on Twitter, so maybe I'm biased in this regard. But I find that there's a strong focus on the external world and news that's happening and reactions to what's happening in the rest of the world, and that there isn't a very strong focus on networking with each other in a social capacity.
Well, yeah. So the thing with that is, you know, because there's nothing like groups like on Facebook, and, you know, there's no connection to your personal self like there is on Facebook, and there's nothing like, you know, like subreddits on Reddit or things like that. It basically, you know, is just all about personal brand building, which is great for media people who love that website the most, even though they always make the same joke about how it's a hell website and all that shit. Which, I mean, they should check out Facebook sometime if they think that Twitter is a hell website. But, you know, that I think that's one strength of Reddit, is that there is more social interaction. But then, on the other hand, because of
right-wing
the downvoting...
Well,
yeah, there's that. But also because of the downvoting feature, it basically becomes like each subreddit has its own form of groupthink. And so any dissenting opinions get pushed down to the margins.
I think for those purposes, the upvoting and downvoting works better on Quora than it does...
Yeah, because Quora doesn't... Well, the weird thing about Quora is there doesn't seem to be any logical order to anything, any list that they have on there. So I don't really understand how any of that works, because it almost always shows me like one of the shittiest answers first to like any question.
Yeah. And in all honesty, I was really excited about Quora at first. I liked the fact that you could get expert opinion on topics, and I was jumping from topic to topic, and I was answering questions, and I was getting upvotes, and it was great. I was feeling very empowered, and then it sort of petered out, which is funny because I'm Peter. But
I feel like I spend too much time. If I try to answer a question, I end up spending too much time on it.
It's great if what you're looking for is a very specific answer to a very specific question, but it sort of fails in several social media aspects. And also, it still lends itself to that same Reddit groupthink kind of thing. I know you've recently been answering and responding to some very right-wing libertarian ANCAP kind of ideologies.
Yeah,
and like I'll go through there and I'll like and upvote all the stuff that you've answered because I agree with you and I feel like you are correct. But there's no actual fact checking that happens on the part of the Quora team itself in response when it comes to the answers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a big ask. You know, you'd have to have a lot of people spending a lot of time to fact check like all the answers that they must be getting constantly.
But at the end of the day, isn't that the whole point of the website? Or are they sort of expecting it to be...
I think they're expecting it to be like crowdsourced, basically.
Yeah, you see, like in that case...
the crowd kind of thing.
Fuck it, I'd rather go to Wikipedia then.
You know what is actually the best feature on Quora is if someone asks a duplicate question, like if you were to go on Stack Overflow, which is a website for software developers to answer questions for each other. If you were to go on Stack Overflow and ask a question that somebody asked, they would basically just downvote you and tell you that it's a duplicate question. It would mark it as duplicate and then just link you to the other question. On Quora, it actually, you can like merge questions together. So if someone has asked the same thing before, you hit merge, it automatically searches for similar questions. And then you just click on the similar one, and it'll merge it with it, which is really cool.
So basically, it reduces redundancy.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
So getting back to today's episode, before we get stuck into Facebook itself and all the shit that Facebook's gotten up to and is getting up to, let's have a quick little chat about the Zuck himself. In doing the research, we've all jumped on the bandwagon and watched.
Look, we've all invented a billion-dollar Facebook app, you know, social network.
And then had it stolen, but didn't have the ability to sue like the Winklevosses.
Winklevoss twins.
God,
what
damn
a stupid name.
Yeah,
that's one of those names you can't even make fun of.
Here's the thing that really pisses me off. Why did they sue Zuckerberg over Facebook instead of suing their parents over that fucking name?
Good question.
Like, surely that's a much bigger source.
That's a war crime, honestly. They should go to a Nuremberg for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So I've collected a few arbitrary facts, little known things about Zuckerberg that are not usually brought up in discussion about Mark Zuckerberg. And I think I've put together a very, very fantastic list of things that not a lot of people know. So we'll start right at the beginning. His full name is Mark Elliott Zuckerberg.
Mike Elliott Zuckerberg.
Okay, so he was born on May 14th, 1984, in White Plains, New York, into what should be considered a comfortable, well-educated family.
Yeah, so notice the guy responsible for one of the world's largest surveillance tools was born in 1984.
Exactly. Kind of spooky. Also, I thought it was hilarious that he's born in White Plains, because it doesn't get any plainer or whiter than Zark Zuckernerd.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, if I think of what is the plainest white person that I can think of, the first image that comes up is like this generic fuzzy image of someone that looks almost exactly like Zuckernerd.
Yeah, so if you go on Wikipedia to, I think it's the page for his wife Priscilla Chan, there's a picture of them in like Stockholm or something like that, and both of their faces are so featureless that the camera cannot focus on them because the background is more detailed. Like, they are blurry in the foreground of the picture of them, and that's the picture they put on their Wikipedia page. So I gotta imagine that there's just no picture of the two of them that has any level of correct focus.
That's awesome. Yeah, actually, like,
he has one of the most featureless faces I've ever seen. It's incredible.
So then technically speaking, he's one of the only people on the planet that won't be recognized by his facial recognition app.
Probably. Or he will, because it's so distinctively featureless. I don't know.
Exactly. There's no one on the planet that is as plainly white as him.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that you know that, he learned about programming from C++ for Dummies. And, I mean, if we really look at the Facebook platform, I think that's pretty much where he learned everything. I don't think he studied anything after that, because, yeah, I don't think...
Well, I'm going to get a little bit pedantic here. I'm pretty sure that the majority of Facebook was written in PHP, which partly explains why it's bad, because PHP sucks. It's not a good language, but it does have the widest variety of libraries because of its age. So it does still have some staying power.
Okay, and now that Ryan's finished bootlicking, I'm just going to say that Facebook still sucks.
Yeah.
I do now know, after doing my research, that he used this programming stuff to write an instant messaging app just for his family called Zucknet. But obviously it didn't
last.
Like
Zucknet.
God, your jokes are just so good today. The app didn't last very long, because about 6 months or 8 months after he finished it, AOL came out with the Instant Messenger app, and everyone immediately realized that it was ridiculously superior to his buggy little program.
I maintain that AOL Instant Messenger is still superior to Facebook Messenger, which is garbage. Terrible.
Yeah, not going to lie. Yeah. Facebook Messenger. I don't understand, because surely when you own three of the largest social networking platforms, all with internal messenger systems, you'd sort of think that you would incorporate the best features of the best messenger into all your other messengers. And they just haven't done that.
I think they just have too much technical debt, which, you know, in an organization that large with that many developers, it actually kind of becomes harder to get over it because, you know, you have people that you can't really get rid of because they have so much domain specific knowledge, but you know, they're really a detriment to your platform because they're just such terrible programmers that they ruin everything they touch. And they end up having to touch a lot of it. So not as easy as it sounds to sort of just revamp the whole thing. Much as I would like that to be possible, in practice, it's much more difficult than that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But, yeah, I'm still going to go
But
with,
they got billions of dollars, goddammit. Just do something good. Jesus Christ.
This is it. It's like...
Just fucking God give up on Facebook Messenger and just go with WhatsApp because it's better.
Yeah, why not just create a WhatsApp plugin for the Facebook platform?
Yeah,
like
they don't want to give up that market share.
That literally cannot be that difficult.
Yeah, no, it can't. There's no way.
Okay, this for me was one of the funniest little tidbits I picked up. In high school, he wrote a music app. A music player app that used an algorithm to set up a kind of playlist which is tailored to the listener's preferences. Today we have stuff like Spotify that does basically a billion times better job of that. This is and I found an article where he was talking about how Microsoft wanted to buy the app that he and another friend at school had put together. And eventually they turned it down because all software should be free and freely available to everyone.
Yeah.
And I just laughed. So basically, even at this very early age, and I mean, he was like 16 or something, 14 or something at the time. Even then, he was really into using algorithms for data collection. Because that's how this whole thing functioned. Now, the Synapse music app, which is what it was called.
What a fucking edgy name.
You know? I bet you Synaptics thought that they'd lost out on everything when they'd lost out on that.
Yeah.
So the website, which is now dead, there is an old version that is available through the Internet History page. I can't remember what the page is actually called. There's a thing where it's got cached versions of...
archive.org. Yeah, the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, the Wayback Machine. That's what it's called.
Definitely one of the greatest apps ever made.
Yeah, that one is awesome.
Yep.
So...
All right, I got to prepare myself for this tagline.
Okay.
Okay, go.
Everyone's going to suffer equally on this one. That dead website... used to list the target market for the app as follows. Listeners of the MP3, students, elevator operators, makers of other media players, programmers, gangsters, punks, nerds, really big nerds, even ones from Yemen. Ugh. Yeah, plenty of those. Competitors, winners, people who exercise to Rocky music, Will Derringer,
what?
Audiophiles, revolutionaries, even Canadians, quality people, gastroenterologists, bums, lots of bums, evil geniuses, classics professors, Chinese people, wine connoisseurs, businessmen, rabbis, dew drinkers, sherpas, dictators, professional servants, people with special powers, people who come through in the clutch. You.
All right. Well, I quit the podcasting business now. See you guys.
All jokes aside, that has to be the worst fucking bit I've ever read in my
entire life. It's so fucking long.
Why really big nerds, even ones from Yemen? What the what?
Why any of this?
And also, why would you advertise your program as being designed for dictators?
Yeah. What is a dew drinker? Does he mean Mountain Dew? Or people who drink literal dew?
I think he means people who drink literal dew. like people who go out and lick blades of grass early in the morning.
Also, why is the third thing a notoriously obsolete job? Is that supposed to be the joke?
I don't know. My favorite is still that this whole thing, you can tell that he is very, very fucking white because professional servants.
Oh, I missed that one. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right after dictators.
Oh, yeah.
Dictators, cool. Professional servants. What a fucking douchebag.
Yeah. Also, he spelled connoisseurs wrong.
Yeah, yeah. He actually spelled it connoisseurs.
Yeah.
Which, I'm sorry, don't call
yourself. I don't think that's
yourself
a word at all.
Yeah. Like, the only reason I knew what to say was because I'm not an idiot.
Right.
And I'm able to interpret idioties.
Because tu connais le mot. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Nathan's going to shit on my pronunciation, but that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, let him. Who cares?
I'm sorry, Nathan is going to shit on my pronunciation.
Okay. Moving on. I've got like three or four more. At Harvard, he was already invading people's privacy by writing a program that told someone what to study based on what everyone else was studying, which already
genius.
Is... It's a really fucking stupid idea.
Oh, stupid, yeah. No, that one, yeah.
But, like, my big question is, so unless he went around and specifically asked every single student what it is that they're studying, the only other way for him to gather this data was to do what?
Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Yeah, and I'm going to guess that what he did there, unless it was strictly sanctioned by Harvard, I'm pretty sure that other students' academic files they're not really supposed to be open to everyone like that, and especially not open to an algorithm that's going to search it and give recommendations to yet more students.
Yeah, but that doesn't tell you what they're studying. That just tells you what work they're doing. It has to just be that people, like, told a computer what they were studying or some shit.
They volunteered the information?
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing's dumb.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, he was already into privacy violation all the way back then.
Yeah, he was already a huge nerd. We get it.
Exactly. Now, a lot of people over the years have commented on that beautiful blue that is the trademark of Facebook. And it turns out that Facebook is blue because Mark is colorblind.
He doesn't even know what shade of blue it is. Bitch.
For those who are not aware of what it means to be colorblind, it is a term used by Democrats to try and pretend that they are not racist, even though he clearly is. More on that later in the episode.
Now for sports.
Last two facts. When he first started Facebook, he actually had business cards made that read, "I'm CEO, bitch."
Yeah.
I really wish that was a joke, but it's not. And I'll never be as funny as real life.
Not even remotely as good as my business cards, which say, "Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot, hoes all on me."
I like that, actually. It's very very accurate.
I actually had a friend in college who made her boyfriend business cards. He didn't really know exactly what he wanted to do. So on his business card, she just put, "I do motherfucking everything." Pretty cute. Cute girlfriend gift.
Yeah, that's great. My first business card, actually, I only had 100 of them made. I didn't have a job at the time, but I wanted business cards because it was cool. And mine just said, "My card." And the whole point was to be able to walk up to people and go, "Hey, my card."
It's It's pretty good.
Worked a charm. Pretty good. Yeah. It went down the bum at pubs. People bought me drinks all the time.
Nice.
And then once everyone was drunk enough, I'd ask for my cards back. And then I could, like, I got a full almost year and a half worth of use out of those cards.
Nice.
I actually think I should have some more printed and then run the gambit again. Oh, fuck, I'm a diabetic. Anyway.
My company printed business cards for me when I first started there. With my like junior developer position, they printed a thousand of them. First of all, I think I gave out like three, and after like a year and a half, I got promoted to like, you know, associate, like regular developer. So they gave me another 1,000 business cards. So hopefully these will last a little longer, because I think it's going to take a while for me to get to lead or senior or whatever. If I ever get there, I have no ambition, so no real intention to try and, move up.
I've always found that it's the people with the least ambition that get shoved up the chain faster. So.
Yeah, what is it? Peter's principle? You always get promoted to the level of your greatest incompetence?
Dude, I've been pushed into roles throughout my life that I am ridiculously unqualified and unsuited for.
Yeah.
And I mean, as you know, I've had a ridiculous amount of work in my life, and variety. I've done everything from a turtle farm tour guide operator to a bartender in a non-alcoholic AA meeting kind of setup, where we, like, everyone there was a member of an AA group, and basically my job was to constantly remind them that they shouldn't be drinking by serving them virgin mojitos.
That sounds very effective to me. Can't exactly. See how that would go wrong.
Yeah. It was a great job, I'm not going to lie. Watching people be depressed about the fact that they can't get drunk. And
people
and
getting depressed about getting a mojito sounds very special to me.
Exactly. Okay, very last fact. Before moving in with him, his now wife, who we will discuss again a little bit later, she gave him a relationship contract which stated that she required one date per week, a minimum of 100 minutes of alone time, not in his apartment, and definitely not at Facebook.
I think this is actually a pretty smart move on her part, but at the same time, who wants to spend time with that weird-ass geek?
I
don't get it.
And I 100% agree with you that, yes, it was a smart move on her part to draw up that contract. And, she's really mentally challenged if she's thinking that that's a good idea.
Wow,
to spend
let's
time
not go
with
there.
Him. Yeah. Sorry, I'm terrible.
I have to edit out so much of this ableism shit.
But I think my biggest thing about this is that it really says something about Mark Zuckerberg if the person that he has on several occasions referred to as his soulmate has to have a relationship contract drawn up, because she's pretty much aware that his life is his company.
Yeah. And prenups are always a good sign of a healthy relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's never going to end up in a marriage counselor's office.
Yeah. All right, so I think we should do the early history of Facebook, and then we'll move on to the scandal.
Sounds good to me. Scandals. Sounds good to me. Like, we might. I think it's better this way, because then people understand who has created this megalithic scandal machine.
Yeah, Eduardo.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So I'll start, I guess. Mike Zuckerberg's roommate, Eduardo something, was initially part of
I think it's pronounced Eduardo Summithin.
Oh, Somethin. Okay. Yeah. Eduardo, Somethin, and Mike, they made Facebook as a pretty basic social network, only for Harvard people. And then they decided to grow it as a business by offering it to other schools. So when Zuckerberg and some other asshole that was working on it moved to Palo Alto to work on their garbage website, Eduardo went to New York to intern at Lehman Brothers. So Mike asked Edward to set up the company, get funding, and make a business model. But instead of being a lame business nerd like Mark and other guy, Edward decided he'd rather be a sick and cool and dope investment guy who parties and fucks. So this is where Mike initially got really mad at Ed. But he got even madder when Edward did some real alpha shit. He put unauthorized ads on Facebook for a new website that he was starting on his own called Jaboozle. Great name. Now, given that Facebook steals tons of data and content from its users, and Jaboozle is a job site, this sounds to me like Ed was actually a job-creating Robin Hood.
Which is factually correct. Everyone knows that he lives a double life.
In the Sherwood Forest.
In Central Park.
Wall Street, which is basically like the Sherwood Forest, you know. Pretty similar. Exactly. Concrete jungle, whatever, all that stuff.
He shoots bows and arrows and mostly crossbows at homeless people. The classic Robin Hood.
Yeah. So unlike Chad Eduardo, Virgin Mark actually cared and was trying. nerd. He offered Eduardo frequent flyer miles to get him out to Palo Alto, which Ed turned down. God, that's so fucking alpha. Mike eventually found his nuts and decided to cut Edward out of Facebook with an oddly racist rationalization. He says, "I maintain that he fucked himself. He was supposed to set up the company, get funding, and make a business model. He failed at all three. Now that I'm not going back to Harvard, I don't need to worry about getting beaten by Brazilian thugs."
What?
Now, if you don't know, thug is a dog whistle for black people, and Brazil is kind of full of those. So, weirdly racist thing for Mike to say. I don't know. Maybe he didn't know, but he probably did.
I think that's sort of hitting out at Eddie's... what's the right word? His Latino heritage, which is even more racist.
He's white as shit.
He's white as shit, but he does have Latino heritage.
Yeah, that's funny. In Google Images, there is a image of him next to Andrew Garfield. They don't look that dissimilar. So, just to give you an idea how white he looks, he looks like Andrew Garfield, the Spider-Man guy.
That's why Garfield was chosen to play him in Social Network.
I never saw that movie because it looked stupid.
Yeah, no, I had to watch it at the time because my brother was watching it and there was fuck all else to do because I'm living on the farm. And home, farm, about 6 months of the year, you can expect rain to fall for like 2 weeks straight, nonstop.
Oh, nice.
And then during those times, you can't really get anything done, so you sit indoors and you watch movies. And I remember having to watch Social Network at the time and thinking to myself, well, it's entertaining, but I guarantee you it's extremely fucking inaccurate.
Yeah. So in June 2004, after Mike's racist tirade where he said the N-word a bunch of times, they hired the Napster guy, who I reluctantly respect because Napster rocked.
I still to this day don't know what Napster is.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I have no idea. I've
Did you ever use LimeWire or what was the other one? There was FrostWire, and then there was SoulSeek, which I still use because it's great. You never used any of those? It's a peer-to-peer file sharing program.
Oh, okay. So it's basically the birthplace of torrents.
Yeah, I guess kind of, but torrents are a radically different technology. The way Napster and all those other ones work is basically anyone who has the program open, they pick a directory on their computer to make files available, and then you can you run a search, and it literally just searches the file names of all the files that everyone who's logged in has made available. And then you can select a file, and it uploads directly from their computer to yours.
Wow.
As opposed to torrents, which use content addressing, where they basically create an index of files. And it's split up in a big Merkle tree kind of thing. And when you get a torrent, you get a physical file that tells you where in this distributed hash table the file lives, and that can include many users at once. So multiple users are sending you the pieces of the file that they have. That's why it's so much faster than peer-to-peer, is because more than one user can upload at the same time, and it doesn't download. I think peer-to-peer programs download sequentially, whereas torrents are more like random access.
Fair play. And this is why we have Ryan on the show, everyone. He is our technical guru.
All right. So they hired the Napster guy, blah, blah, blah. They wanted Napster guy. Not the real Napster, who is Seth Green, of course. They wanted the Napster guy to get money. They also had yet to actually cut Alpha Edward out. So they created a plan to do that, which apparently they learned from Peter Thiel. So they created a new Delaware corporation to acquire the existing company and then distribute the shares of the new company to everyone but Edward, which is to me a classic beta move.
Such cucks.
Yeah, huge cucks. So on July 29, 2004, they carry out this plan, creating a new company called the Facebook.com. So what do you know? All the old people who called it the Facebook are actually correct. Just like the people who say GIF and Doge and pizza is a soup. On September 27th, famous blood-drinking scumbag Peter Thiel invested $500,000 in the Facebook.com in exchange for a 9% stake in the company. So this plan didn't work that well, because Edward only went from 30% stake to 24%.
We're going to cut you out completely.
Yeah.
Here, have a quarter of everything.
On October 31st, Edward signed a shareholder agreement to give him 3 million shares of common stock in exchange for giving up control over IP and voting rights, making Mark the sole director. On January 7th, 2005, Mark issued 9 million shares of common stock in Facebook, taking 3.3 million shares for himself, and then 2 million each to Napster guy and what's his fuck. So Edward was now down to 10%. And he did not notice this until April of 2005, when Excel Partners, a venture capital fund, invested $12.7 million in Facebook, valued at $98 million. So their market cap was $98 million. And remember that capitalization is expected future value. I'm not sure how far out they were valuing it, but it reached $98 million before 2007. So fairly accurate there. So at that point, Edward realized that his shares had been diluted, and then he got mad. Mad stacks, because his $15K investment from 2004 is worth $1 billion now.
That poor baby.
Yeah. So that's the story of the early history of Facebook. There's also the whole Winklevoss twins thing.
If you want to know about that, just like, honestly, just go fucking watch The Social Network and be as misinformed as everyone else.
Okay. Yeah, so they created some shit called Harvard Connection, which they accuse Zuckerberg of stealing code from. And, you know, obviously Harvard Connection, that would have become a brand that would have been like $1 billion company used by a billion users all over the world. So they really got screwed there.
Yeah. Poor bastards.
Yeah.
Luckily, they got they got a settlement of $65 million and everything worked out happily for everyone.
Well, that's pocket change compared to what they could have gotten with Harvard Connection.
Exactly. I think it's important now that we start talking about how this little creation of Zuckernerd.
It's not a nice name for Mark.
Who's Mark?
Mike, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not feeling charitable at the moment. So basically, I think it's time for us to start talking about how this little brainchild of his has become embroiled in a scandal.
Which one? So which scandal are you talking about?
Okay. Well, I think we can choose here. There's plenty. You know, we can talk about the Prism scandal. We can talk about the tax avoidance that he does. We can talk about the political affiliations. We can talk about.
Hey, let's talk about all of them.
You know what? I think you're right. Let's talk about all of them.
Cool.
Okay. Essentially, let's start with what would probably be considered to be the big one at the moment.
Okay.
And that's where he's basically being the personal spy of lying Donnie Trump, also known
T-Rump.
As Putin. T-Rump. I don't understand that one, man.
I think it's supposed to be Rump. Like, I think that's the joke. Because it's written by, you know, basic-ass, like, boomer Democrats who don't know how to make jokes because they're really lame.
Yeah, and they
probably
I'm sorry,
still
but
listen
it's
to
really
Frank Sinatra
stupid.
And like Rump. You know drink Merlot.
Rump
every day.
Is the tastiest part of the cow. Like, why would you make that joke and basically say that he's the best part of the cow?
They don't, dude. They probably eat like fucking hamburger helper. I don't know.
Okay. So
lying Donnie T. Rump.
Also known as Putin's personal dick sucking machine and puppet.
Yeah.
Or also known as the big orange cheetah with small hands.
Yeah, aka a small penis also as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got some great names. as part of this big scandal that's been happening. For those who have been living under a rock and have not listened to any news, it has recently come to light that a British firm called Cambridge Analytica has harvested the data on more than 50 million Facebook users without authorization by Facebook.
I didn't know that was a British company, but now that I know, I understand the name because it's extremely British.
Yeah. You won't catch an American company naming themselves Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've recently been outed for harvesting data on 50 million Facebook users without apparently getting authorization from Facebook, which I assume is one of the two reasons that people are finally mad at the widespread data mining that Facebook has been doing the entire time that it has existed.
Yeah, the big problem there is that it's unauthorized. People really care about going through the proper channels for stuff. That's what everyone's mad about.
Okay. The thing is, and I've been following the stories pretty closely, and the guy that blew the whistle on this whole thing has
Oh, the guy with the
said,
pink hair?
Yeah.
Every time I see that guy in one of the articles, I just think it's like some other article, like they're trying to link to another article, and it's like how to look alt or something like that. I don't know. Like, he looks like a really cool alt guy that, you know, hangs out at punk shows.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what he is. He's basically come out and said, look, there's no way that Facebook can claim that this wasn't authorized. The Cambridge Analytica The guy that developed the app in question here, which was one of those IQ test apps or something like that, you know, these things that pop up on Facebook. Take this quiz and we'll tell you your personality type or fucking
and
whatever.
Your skull size and shape.
Yeah.
You'll get this in a second, listeners.
The guy that developed all of this, the team he was working with, they were having problems getting data back from Facebook. And so they were in contact with the Facebook support team, trying to, you know, explain why is there a throttling problem happening. And from the moment that they lodged that first phone call or email or whatever the fuck they did to Facebook, Facebook was well aware of what was going on. And this actually goes back, I know everything's, all the major news outlets are saying 2015, but the first lodges of the complaints and everything from this team dates back to 2014, 2013. They'd been doing it for quite a while. And I'm not even for the remotest bit of a second going to think that Facebook wasn't aware of who was accessing its servers.
They probably would have given the data up for money. So I think it's really weird that people are this mad about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's how they make money. They make money by selling data that they collect from the app to advertisers. So
yeah, I know you, I asked you to take a look at Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah. So it was founded by this guy, Robert Mercer, who is such a piece of shit that his Wikipedia article actually has a heading called race relations, which is always a good sign.
Yeah, that's a great sign.
Yeah, this is not an exaggeration. Mercer said that the 64 Civil Rights Act was a major mistake, and that the only racists left in the country are black racists.
It's only racism if it's reverse racism.
Yeah. He also donated Dana Analytics services to UKIP, the UK Independence Party. They're the racist one during the Brexit referendum.
They're the ones that pushed for Brexit.
Yeah. And Nigel Farage, Boris Johnson, bunch of other guys, you know. If you ever see the British Trump, that's Boris Johnson.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't remember where we saw him the other day, but there was this thing that popped up in my life. I was like, who's that? And I was like, oh, that's Boris Johnson. She's like, wait, where have I heard that name? I'm like, he's the British Brexit guy. And she's like, oh, I didn't know the UK had their own Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, he really is. Like, he looks exactly like Trump, but with worse teeth and worse posture. Perfect example of the difference between Americans and British people.
I actually, just as a very quick segue here, I saw some research this week that literally dispelled the myth that British people have worse oral hygiene than people in America. Literally, it's exactly the opposite way around. Oral health in the US is something like twice as bad as that in the UK.
Well, I think the stereotype is not that they have worse oral hygiene, but that they don't do orthodontics, which are very popular in the U.S.
Yeah, it's not about hygiene. It's about oral health. So literally, the research shows that per capita, the U.K. does a lot more to ensure their oral health than America does. And the main reason for this is because they have socialized healthcare.
That's probably just fake news by the cultural Marxists. Trying to take away my right to choose my own healthcare.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Free market.
Because that's what you've got in the U.S., right? It's not like basically you have...
Yeah, we have this little thing called freedom, Peter. Maybe you've heard of it in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah.
One of those. It's
totally enshrined in your state of capitalism.
Yeah. Right? Thomas Jefferson. George Washington.
Okay, I zoned out there for a second. okay, so yeah, let's move on from Robert Mercer and his racist.
Yeah, movies. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so they used the data to help Trump during the 2016 election, which is almost definitely what people are actually mad about. Because the biggest crime is not harvesting data from a billion users over the period of a decade, but helping Trump win an election, which I'm not sure how much that would have actually helped. I have a feeling that it was exactly as much help as all the Russian interference that that Democrats are always pissing themselves over, because... Really, what lost the election was they picked a bad candidate, and she did not do a good job campaigning. But anyway, it's probably because of Cambridge Analytica. So let's get mad and delete our Facebook.
Well, look, I think that the delete Facebook thing is great because I love seeing big companies like Forestbook fall prey to the invisible hand. But at the same time, I totally think it's all superficial. Then again, I am quite grateful that big names like Will Ferrell and Elijah Muskoka have instructed their social media managers to delete their Facebook accounts publicly.
Yeah.
I really laughed hard. For those that didn't see it, Elon Musk was on Twitter. He was called out by his followers, and they were asking him to delete his Facebook account. And he was like, do I have a Facebook account? I didn't even notice. And they were like, oh, go and delete your...
I would never spend any time on something so plebeian.
that was, I think, the best impression we've heard in a while.
That's actually kind of what he sounds like, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. from now on, you're doing the skits with Elon Musk.
Okay.
So he came out in on Twitter and basically suggested that he didn't even know that there was a Facebook page for Solar City and for Tesla and for SpaceX. And I'm
okay,
sorry,
guy.
I do this. For a living at the moment. At the moment, I am a social media manager.
For Elon Musk? That sucks, dude. I'm sorry.
No. it's not... Don't put me in that. No. No, I'm not going to take that from you, Ryan. I can tell you right now, as a social media manager, there is no fucking way on earth that he didn't know about having Facebook pages with hundreds of thousands of followers on them. So, yeah, fuck you, you lying piece of shit.
Yeah, I think that's his version of an alpha move, but...
Yeah, yeah, basically
obviously
trying...
did not work very well.
Yeah, look, there have been... I haven't mentioned it in the show notes, but there has, in the last week or so, there have been several of the big tech company CEOs that have, in the words of some of the articles, thrown shade at Mark Zuckerberg over the Cambridge Analytica thing. and it's funny for me because I think I linked that article to you. Was it to you?
Which one?
Let me just double check. Because, yeah, there were... Ah, yes. It was the article about 8 people who lost $1 billion or more in... When was this? 2 days ago. The stock market plunged and 8 of the top billionaires, all these tech billionaires...
Oh, yeah, yeah. They, yeah, throwing shade, yeah, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah, so now there they are, really throwing great shade stuff at Mark Zuckerberg. But they're doing it because they've lost a fuckload of money. And that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad for Zaki.
Yeah.
Football.
So on this subject, I also found a really great article by who gives a shit what his name is. He's an ANCAP guy. And it's titled Blame Political Operatives, Not Facebook. So the dipshit rational. Who wrote this says Facebook and Cambridge Analytica should not have harvested vast amounts of data and put them in the hands of operatives. Operatives is his word for politicians because he obviously has prions. But we should never be surprised when politicians appeal to human weaknesses or emotions, which, you know, only politicians do that. Businesses never do that at all. You know, businesses never like target ads at women to make them feel bad about themselves and, you know, make them want to buy products to make up for their insecurity that was created by the advertisers. It never happens.
Yeah. And I mean, those same companies don't create ads that target men and threaten their masculinity in an attempt to get a fear of social ostracism to get them to purchase stuff. I mean,
well, let's not go all MRA here, Peter. So the article was written by an Austrian economist at Trinity College and the Mises Institute. I looked into him more, and he's not just any old Austrian economist, but a full-blown Rothbard-loving ANCAP. And so a little bit of advice for you. Never go full Rothbard. Let's see. The article also says Facebook has several dozen potentially viable competitors that use open source technology. Let the market speak. We should be looking for private solutions where people get to control what is done with their data. In the meantime, I will be spending less time giving my personal data to Mark Zuckerberg and more time reading Aldous Huxley. Clever little quip there, you know, Brave New World, etc.
It's great totally article. Not a 1984 reference at all.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think he wrote that one. I think he wrote Lolita.
No, he wrote Game of Thrones, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I also think this is very funny because on Wednesday, Facebook actually developed a new section on their privacy part of settings.
The Game of Thrones section?
On the Facebook platform, you now have unprecedented amounts of control over your own data.
They do this every time people start to complain about the privacy violations. They're like, oh, well, you can control more of it now. How about that? Just as good as not having us harvest your data, right?
Exactly. So I don't know what this guy's on about. He wants private solutions where people get to control what is done with their data. But
I don't think he's thinking about the business model aspect of this, where companies that run social networks with a billion users have to make money somehow. And as we've all realized after, you know, several decades of the internet, people just will not pay for content on the internet. It just does not happen. Patreon's probably like one of the few exceptions for this. The only way that you can get people to pay for content is if there's literally no alternative to paying for content, like with scholarly journals or some of the major newspapers that are now behind paywalls. Which, by the way, if you want to read a New York Times article, but you don't want to pay for it because you're sane, just turn off JavaScript and then refresh the page, and then the paywall won't come up. A little tip for you guys.
Also, another fun little tidbit, if at any point you want to go and read the tweets of the idiot that wrote that article and really call him out for his idiocy, feel free to go and check out at Ed Stringham on Twitter.
Yeah, Stringham, right?
Yeah, Stringham. Yeah.
Stringham. So I think this is just one of those ticks where anytime a business does something that is unequivocally reprehensible, you know, all these ANCAP guys have this tick where they have to somehow blame the government.
Exactly.
Because only the government ever does anything bad, of course. And if we just get rid of that, then everything will be cool.
Yeah, stupid government.
Yeah.
Why did I have to ruin the market? Don't they understand that individualism, it's sacrosanct? And
anyway, yeah. So there's another scandal that's even more recent than this Cambridge Analytica one. Not really receiving as much attention. I wonder why.
Even though it really fucking should.
Yeah, I can't imagine why the people who freak out about anything that Trump does wouldn't care about this. Because the scandal is that Facebook is being sued by several organizations for violations of the Fair Housing Act. So its advertising platform allows users to target ads, as the organization ProPublica found, to exclude African Americans, mothers of high school kids, people interested in wheelchair ramps, Jews, expats from Argentina, and Spanish speakers.
So I'm sorry.
I'm not sure why the white liberals that were freaking out about the Cambridge Analytica thing don't care about this. I'm not sure, but I don't know. There might be something there.
I think it's got to do with the fact that most of the Democrats and the Republicans as mm-hmm. well are racist pieces of shit. But
that's they're against that
publicly.
They're against it. They don't see color, just like Mark Zuckerberg. But I don't know, Mark. It seems to me like you kind of don't like black people. So if you do, just drop us a line at our Gmail account, neighborscience@gmail.com, and let us know. We will issue a correction on the next show to say that you actually do like black people. So
yeah, and obviously, if there's no response whatsoever, then we're just going to take it that we are correct.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Makes sense to me.
There's no need to correct stuff that is already correct.
Yeah. I mean, obviously this Fair Housing Act violation thing is terrible. They should get sued for it. They probably won't have to pay like remotely as much money as they should for this obviously illegal thing that they're doing. I think it's weird and creepy to have any micro-targeting like what they have in that list, even if it's not based on protected categories of people. I think it's insanely creepy to be able to target ads to specific demographics like that.
100% in agreement.
Yeah.
The one thing, I would have loved to have been part of that ProPublica investigation, to like be part of that team who then obviously went about getting... trying to run an ad through Facebook,
yeah,
and then finding that they can exclude certain portions of the population. And someone in that group said, "Ooh, see if you can get us exclude. See if you can exclude people interested in wheelchair ramps,
or expats from Argentina," which to me sounds kind of like Nazis. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess that would be expats in Argentina. But I don't know. I mean, I would bet that if we were to go on Facebook right now, go on the Neighbor Science page and go to create a promoted post or whatever they call it, I bet we would still be able to do this.
I wouldn't.
Would not surprise me whatsoever. Like, they probably still have the ability to do this, and they will keep it until they actually lose or settle that lawsuit.
Indeed. 100% correct. Okay, another scandal that isn't really understood as clearly as the first two. I know we've been talking for a while, so some people may have gotten lost as to how many scandals we've listed so far. We've only listed two so far, and that's the housing thing and the Cambridge Analytica thing. Now, this third one isn't really a major scandal like it should be. It is kind of related to the Cambridge Analytica thing. Because, the Zucks social media platform
claims to be a politically agnostic, and I'm using that with the most sarcastic air quotes in history, a politically agnostic tool for its more than 2 billion users. But Facebook, it turns out, isn't just a casual observer in global politics. Say what now?
Crazy.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
What the Faceplant, Facebook team hasn't really been very public about is that the company actively works with political parties and leaders, including those who use the platform to stifle opposition. And on several occasions now, they've employed what's known as a troll army to go out and spread misinformation.
Oh, yeah, I know those. They got those in World of Warcraft.
Yeah. And that's essentially where the idea comes from.
You're not very effective because you won't have a lot of mages.
But now this is where this is where Facebook comes in, because they've got mages of their own. First and foremost is Katie Harbath. I don't know and I don't care. She is the director of Facebook's global politics direction department. Before working for Facebook, Katie was the chief digital strategist at the National Republican Senatorial Committee. Her job at Facebook is to teach political parties and political candidates and global politician groups and political groups how to use Facebook to their best advantage. And this is where stuff like Donald Trump working with Cambridge Analytica and something about the Kenyan government and the Indian government and all of these big governments getting a bit of a rise. It's all because of this department within Facebook, where basically they have gotten this little department. They've realized what kind of influence they can have on democracy, and how with enough of a social media push, they can swing elections to whatever direction they think is needed. And whoever pays the most amount of money to them can then use their platform to suppress opposition and to
like Mr. Vladimir Putin. The Russian guy?
Yes. Yeah. Very, 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 very much so. That for me is one of the bigger ones, is that not a lot of people are even aware that there is this separate department within the Facebook corporation that specifically deals with global politics, that helps massive interests to wield power in the most efficient social media platform method available to them.
I don't know. It's just unbelievable to me that a huge, private, unaccountable bureaucracy controlled by one man influencing what a billion people see would exploit that ability to push for the politics that they want. I can't imagine why that would happen. It's weird.
Yeah, look, let's face it. Never in the history of civilized society have the major, the dominant power entities in society used their power to recreate society and
no.
Restructure society in such a way that benefits them. So, why would they start now?
And I mean, at the end of the day, let's get real. It's actually the government's fault that he's doing this. Let's blame the political operatives, not Facebook.
Yeah. And, I mean, let's face it. Zuck didn't actually do any of this. It was
no.
It
the
was,
government made him.
Yeah, and yeah. It was the various governments of the world that made him do this.
Yeah. If they weren't there, then if he tried to do this, there would be a market correction.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Invisible hands. People, invisible.
Well, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, moving on from that one, Facebook has also been identified as one of the major multinational tech giants using Ireland as a tax avoidance measure. For those of you that aren't aware, Panama Papers and the Paradise Papers and all of them that showed how offshore banking and investment and all of that, I mean, we discussed this recently, and even then we were talking about Ireland being used as a tax avoidance haven kind of thing. Yeah, Facebook's right up there with them. And even so much so that every ounce of global income that Facebook generates outside of the US, it's all channeled directly through Ireland.
Yeah, what was that loophole called? Like a double, like an Irish sandwich or Dutch Irish sandwich or something like that? They route all their income into Ireland, then through the Netherlands, and then back through Ireland, and then to wherever it's actually going.
Yeah, exactly. That's the exact procedure.
Yeah.
So basically what it boils down to is Ireland's tax laws have loopholes that make it attractive for multinational corporations to set up their international offices in Ireland, where they can then pay as little tax as possible and walk away with a majority of the earnings that essentially rely on global infrastructure and the working middle class's taxes in order to maintain that infrastructure. So clever Facebook. Well done. You are avoiding tax like a boss.
Like a boss.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have any others?
They were NSA thing and...
Yeah, but I mean, everyone knows about the Prism operation and how the NSA was caught being given direct access to Facebook, Google, and Apple servers. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Don't they?
I don't know, maybe. Probably everyone that listens to this does.
Okay, so in that case, we would like to ask that all our listeners give our podcast
to the NSA.
To at least one other person that hasn't
in
heard
the NSA
about the gospel of neuroscience, and so that we can share the wonderful news that the NSA was caught running the PRISM operation. That's PRISM, not PRISON. The PRISM operation, where they literally had direct access to everyone's data.
Yeah. I guess the last thing we'll mention in relation to privacy stuff is Facebook creates a profile on you even if you don't actually create an account. So if your friends, if you have friends, which, you know, rub it in, first of all. Second of all, if you have friends and you appear in pictures with them, or your friends that are on Facebook talk about you, or, you know, try to tag you in the picture or whatever, it will collect it all into this profile that it already maintains on you, whether or not you volunteer the information. So if you think that you're safe from the clutches of Facebook because you didn't sign up for an account, you're actually wrong.
Yeah, basically everyone who is currently deleting their Facebook account, that just deletes your public account. That doesn't delete the massive amount of data they already have on you. And we're talking about, like,
I don't even think it deletes. It probably does not delete any of the data that you volunteered after signing up. It probably just sets a flag in a database that says account deleted and then keeps all the shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Why would they give it up? Because you asked them to? Dream on.
Okay, so people that have liked... looking at or listening to us talk about all these various criticisms and scandals of Facebook, they need to go check out the Criticism of Facebook page, which is, I think, one of the biggest pages on Wikipedia. like just their table of contents it reads like an entire book.
Yeah. All right, so... I think the last thing that we'll do is the supposed charity that Zuckerberg and his wife are pledging, was it 99% of their Facebook shares to? So this was in the news, I think probably middle of last year or so. I don't know. It's been a long time since last year. But anyway, yeah, all the articles were Zuckerberg is donating all of his wealth to charity. Nobody who wrote any of these articles did even the most basic research on it, because it's not a charity. It's actually a business. It's called the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, named after Priscilla Chan, his wife, and Zuckerberg himself. So they have a lot of causes that they list. I went and looked on their page to find out all the shit they are doing. So they have education, justice, and opportunity in science. So for education, pretty predictably, their main thing is called Summit Public Schools, which is a CMO, also known as a charter school business. School privatization, good stuff. They also donate something or other, I don't know, to the College Board, which is another supposed nonprofit that profits exorbitantly off of standardized college entrance exams. And then one that's actually kind of good, it's called Vision to Learn, that gives free glasses to poor kids. So that's not bad.
I wonder what the kickback is for selling, that's it, companies. The eyeglass company,
Vision to Learn.
No. Adam Ruins Everything did an episode.
I don't know.
Lux something or other.
Yeah, that one. Luxembourg.
Yeah, I can guarantee you, Vision to Learn is associated with that in some way.
I mean, I looked into their board. I didn't see anyone from that. I probably would have recognized the name. I did see one insurance company person. They're highly rated on Charity Navigator, so they're actually pretty transparent with their finances and all that stuff. Their total assets are like $2 million, so they can't be getting that much of the billion or so, whatever it is that this organization is actually spending on other organizations. Anyway, under the justice and opportunity section, there's a couple organizations that seem okay. Families Against Mandatory Minimums, which, you know, pretty much what it sounds like. Justice Leadership USA. This one is really weirdly vague. Actually, the next two both are. So this is in their About section on Facebook. Just Leadership USA elevates the voices of Americans impacted by crime and incarceration by positioning them as informed, empowered reform partners through leadership development, reframing, and policy advocacy. So let me know if you can figure out what they actually do based on that. Then the next one is called Fair and Just Prosecution, and their About says, Fair and Just Prosecution, FJP, brings together newly elected local prosecutors committed to promoting a justice system grounded in fairness, equity, compassion, and fiscal responsibility. So I guess it's lawyers trying to be nice or something.
It doesn't sound like they do much of anything.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very unclear. Then they have another one called Measures for Justice, which collects data about the justice system. But I don't know how great of a job they're doing, because I went on their website. They only had data for like 5 or 6 states. So
they're not going to be able to tell us how many police shootings happen in the U.S.
Yeah, no. They had like court cases and prisoner releases or exonerations or something like that. I don't know. It seems like something that you could easily scrape an API to get and then just put into some sort of visualization. But probably, what do I know? Probably. I just do that for a living.
Yeah, it's probably a multi-million NPO.
Yeah. So. Then they have they fund this company called Landed, which gives 50% of a down payment on a house. and takes 25% of the gain or loss above or below the resale price. And this is my attempt to make it sound understandable. Basically, it's a second lender on top of the bank. So that's really cool. Opportunity, justice, etc. They had another section, it's like leaders or something. Then they had the Turner Center for Housing Innovation. The weird thing about this to me is that Turner is spelled with an E. T-E-R-N-E-R. Yeah, they're trying to make houses more affordable through innovation, which that's definitely how it works. The reason that houses are so expensive is because there's not enough innovation in housing. And then some shit about dreamers is the last thing in that section. So for science, they had the Chan Zuckerberg Biohub, which sounds like some really sci-fi shit. This seems to be what most of the money is going towards, about $60 million a year. And it's pretty incredible how vague everything is here. They're making a cell atlas of every cell in the human body, which I'm not sure if that's supposed to be like every individual cell or every type of cell. That's the clearest part of this whole thing. There's also an infectious disease initiative where they talk about researching new diagnostic tests, new drugs, vaccines, a rapid response team. So it sounds to me like this Biohub is doing the cell atlas thing as well as every single type of research that the pharma industry as a whole does. So I don't know how they're doing that on a $60 million a year budget. I don't know. That's
very weird.
Yeah.
Like it almost sounds like someone stepped into the Facebook PR department and said, guys, like, what are the hot button topics that people who follow science and stuff would want us to pretend to research?
Yeah, I don't know. They're also hiring for like 4 dozen positions. So if you need a job and you live in California, check out the Chan Zuckerberg Institute.
Ugh.
Yeah. Did you have anything else? That's all I got.
Not really. Not really, not really. I'm not going to lie. I've been reading so much Zuckerberg crap leading up to this, and everything about him just sort of like makes me feel nauseous.
I'm kind of afraid to look in the mirror now because I think my face might look like his now after talking about him for this long.
You mean you're going to look in the mirror and your mirror's going to be all vague?
Yeah, it's going to be blurry. Yep.
Okay, so we haven't mocked Zuckerberg as much as we generally mock our billionaires, but that's because when we first decided to do this, we decided to lean away from all the mockery with billionaires specifically that are very inherently self-mocking. I've always felt that Zuckerberg's existence is, if anything, it's mockery of humanity.
I also think he's just like more well known than all the other ones that we've covered or plan to cover.
Yeah. I think we're going to run another poll on Twitter, and this time with Zuckerberg being excluded, we'll find who the most hated billionaire on the planet is. That we will give you a list of.
I think we should just do Peter Thiel next, because I think there's going to be a lot of content there.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so that was the show. Thanks for listening. If you liked it, go on iTunes and give us a rating. I haven't checked to see whether or not any of you bastards have actually given us a rating, but I'm pretty sure the answer is no. So this is an official call out. Also, you can follow our Twitter account at NeighborSciPod, our Facebook page, which we have not deleted because we're not that performative, facebook.com/NeighborScience. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/NeighborScience. Gmail, neighborscience@gmail.com. We have a Discord now. If you go on the Neighbor Science Twitter account, I have a link to it there. I guess I'll pin it to the top so that people can find it easily. We got a couple people in there so far. Should be fun, you know. People have been participating a little bit. But I think if we get more people in there, it should be more entertaining. So if you like talking about political economy or anime or making fun of billionaires or whether pizza is sandwich or soup, go ahead and get on that Discord. I think that's everything.
Yeah. You guys can follow Ryan on Twitter at handle of Rye without an E at the end. And yep. You can follow me at BookCheekite. So do that and help me to understand Twitter better and why I don't get much social interaction. Nobody likes my tweets. Even though I put a lot of effort in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a grind.
Just to be fair, I don't put any effort into my Twitter.
All right. That's it. Bye.
That's the show. Later, everyone. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Before I came up in the game, beholders show no love. They see me in the club and used to treat me like a scrub. They wouldn't holler cause my dollars weren't swollen up. I bet they changed their mind when them 84s come rolling up. They see that I'm a star, now they wanna sit in my car. Now they wanna call my G's, smoke my weed and sip my bar. Now they used to love to diss me, now they rush to hug and kiss me. Now they telling all their friends when I leave how they miss me. Now 281-330-8004. Hit Mike Jones up on the low cause Mike Jones about to blow. Before the ice was in my grill, before I got my major deal, these hoes wouldn't give a damn if I was here. Yeah, I said before the ice was in my grill, before I got my major deal, these hoes wouldn't give a damn if I was here. Yeah, I said before the ice was in my grill, before I got my major deal, these hoes wouldn't give a damn if I was here. Yeah, because back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me.